Okay, so the mission, the bottom of Chaf Hey Aleph, talks about the various parshios of the Tanakh that may or may not be written and translated. So the Mishnah tells us that Ma'isa Ruvain Nikrav L'Matargim, again, the well-known Ma'isa in Chumash, Ruvain had switched around the beds of Yaakov, different interpretations of what exactly that means. So the Mishnah tells us one's allowed to read that, but you can't be Matargim, you can't explain what's going on, because we're concerned with the Kavod of Ruvain. Ma'isa Tamar, Nikra Metargim, comes to Ma'isa Tamar, the story of Yehuda and Tamar, Yehuda and his daughter-in-law, that is permitted to be read and also translated. And the reason for that is because, I think Gemara is going to tell us, that because at the end of the day, Yehuda was Moda to the sin, which serves as a tremendous chizik for us. Ma'isa Egel HaRishon Nikra, the first parsha of Egel, Ma'isa Egel is permitted to be read, Umetargim, you can also translate what goes on. However, the Shein, this Nikra, the second section of the Egel, which is when Aaron tells over to Moshe what exactly happened, that's read, but Lo Metargim, that cannot be explained. And the reason for that, again, I think all the Gemara is going to explain these things, because the second, let's look for a second, yeah, let's look at Rashi. Rashi in the Mishnah does explain this. Rashi writes, Ma'isa Egel HaRishon, this is five lines up from the bottom. Kol Parshas HaEgel Ad Vashichehu Be'esh. The entire Parsha can be read up until that point. U'masha Chazer Aaron V'Sipur HaMaisa Hukari Maisa Egel Sheni. And that which Aaron repeats over to Moshe, that's called Maisa Sheni. Hu Shekasav Lo V'Yitzhag Hegel Hazeh. And Aaron tells Moshe, I didn't do anything wrong. I just put the gold in the fire and then this Egel had appeared. V'lo Yitargim, a person shouldn't explain these words. People say, wait a second, this really happened. An ego really came out of the fire. They're going to start believing in Machshefa and things. So therefore, Aval Mikrein Mavina, but the Pesukim themselves, they won't be able to understand the Am Ha'aretz. So this type of Pasuk, you cannot translate. Now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Birkas Kohanim, and Maisa David Amram is referring to really Amnon and Tamar. Amnon was a son of David. Tamar was also a daughter of David. And there's a whole Maisa that Amnon had coerced Tamar, maybe even raped her. So that story, V'nikrin v'lo metargim. These two stories, Birkas Kohanim and Maisa David Amnon, should not be translated, but they may be read. Ein maftirin b'merkava. A person cannot lein haftora from the merkava. However, Rabbi Yehuda matir, Rabbi Yehuda permitted it, because ma'isa merkava, people start trying to understand it, it's going to be very hard to understand, if anything at all. Rabbi Eliezer omer, ein maftirin b'hoda es Yerushalayim. This cannot be used haftora either. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel, a parsha in Yecheskel. Rashi explains in the Mishnah that hoda es Yerushalayim is a to'ovoseh. Talks about the various abominations, the to'evos of Yerushalayim, Parsha Yecheskel, it's found in Yecheskel. This area of Yerushalayim speaks very bad about Yerushalayim, very appropriate for today, the 10th of Av. One should not read from this Parsha, because it speaks very negatively about Yerushalayim. Okay, now Gemara is going to elaborate on some of these in Yanim the Mishnah spoke of. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Yesh Nikin V'Metargumim, there's certain Parshios that are read and translated. Yesh Nikin V'Metargumim, there's certain things that are read but not translated. Yesh Lo Nikin V'Metargumim, and some are not read at all. So Elu Nikrin Metargumim, the following are those that may be read and translated, and the simon, the mnemonic to remember this, is a Balat Akan Nashva, or Below Akan Nashva. I never understand these mnemonics, never really remember them, but the Gemara in Erevin tells us that if a person wants to remember things, a person has to try to use mnemonics, otherwise it's very hard to memorize. Unless you have a photographic memory, you need to use symbols or signs to help remember things. So what are they? Ma'isa Bereishis Nikra Metargim. One's allowed to read about the stories of the events of Ma'isa Bereishis and also translate them. Of course, it's pretty obvious. Why would you think otherwise? So Gemara says, Ma'od the same way, you would have thought maybe you shouldn't be able to translate it. Because Asli Shli, people are going to start asking the questions, Ma'la Ma'la, what's above? Ma'la Mata, what's below? Uma, we'll get back to Rashi in a second, we'll just finish reading this line on the top of Amud Beis. Uma Lefnim, Ma'la Achor, what was before, what was after? Kamashlan, one's allowed to read it. So look at Rashi back on the bottom of Amud Aleph. Rashi explains, what's the problem with these questions of asking what's above, what's below, what's before, what's after? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. We'll get there in another Masechta. Aminim b'Masechas Chagiga, ha'mistake b'abra dvarim, roi lo kilo lo bal dialam. Person looks into four things, it's better that he doesn't come to the world. A very strange Gemara. B'hasim b'farish time, the reason being is, because ein ratzono shamech she'yaskiru shmo al ashba. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you mentioning his name on ashba, on garbage. Not really sure what that means exactly. Some will explain that because a person starts looking at what happened before the world was created, what happened before God, what existed before, what happens after the world. These things make people crazy. So I'm not quite sure what the Gemara means. We'll get there in probably 6 weeks from now. So somehow there's something bad about asking these questions, and there's a concern if a person looks into Maaseh Bereishis too much, and too much is unknown, they're going to start asking these very interesting questions. Rashi, look at the top Tosis for a second. He gives two interpretations. What does it mean, ma lifnim ma la'achar? Tosis writes, Perish, ma besof gvulei ha'olam l'mizrach l'marav. Wants to know, what's at the end, the east, what's all the way at the west? Now, we really know there's no end, because it's a circle. This could be, Tosis felt that the world was flat, so they never knew what was at the end. Do you fall off the cliff? Do you not fall off the cliff? Could be a deeper understanding. Inami Tosis writes, ma haya kodem sheishish yimei breishis ma yihe achar sheyich la'olam. So this resonates better with us. What was before Maaseh Bereishis? What existed? Kadosh Baruch Hu existed. There was this vacuum. What was it? And, what's going to be after the world is destroyed? What's going to be? These types of questions get people to go think and get crazy. So you would think maybe you shouldn't read Maaseh Bereishis. Kamashlan, one may read Maaseh Bereishis. We're not concerned if people are going to go in this direction. Then the Gemara says, Maisa Lot to Shebenosav, Nikra, the story of Lot. Lot thought the world was destroyed, and he and his two daughters had relations, had kids. That's also Nikra Matargim. You can translate the Parsha. Shita, that also seems obvious. What would be wrong with that? Now, the same Nichash Lechvod to Avram, you can be concerned. These, are, of course, are relatives of Avram Avinu. We're concerned with his kavod. Kamashlan will allow to read it anyways. Again, each Kamashlan here, it's open to interpretation. Maybe we'll say the fact that people are not concerned that you're going to start associating Avram with the terrible actions of Lot and his daughters, so you're allowed to read it. Maisa Tamar Yehuda. This was, we said before, Yehuda and his daughter-in-law, that she was dressed up as a zona. Nikra Matargim. Pshita, that's also obvious. Mal the same Alichas Lechvoda de Yehuda. Maybe we should be concerned with the covenant of Yehuda, that he had relations with the zona, that he had relations with his daughter-in-law. Kamashman Shavchahu de'odim. This ends up being a very positive thing about Yehuda, the very fact that in such a difficult, challenging, embarrassing situation, he was still willing to be admit to his sins or to the events. So therefore, that's a tremendous thing for us. Maisa Egel Rishon Nikra Matargim. The first events, the actual events that are recorded of Maisa Egel can be read and translated. The Gemara says that's also a pshita. Mal the same Aleichosh Lichvodon Shal Yisrael. We should be concerned with the covenant of Yisrael, the fact that they did some level of Vodah Zarah. Kamashulam, that we're allowed to read it. So Kolshken Denichale Dehavi Le Kapara. We actually want this to be read because it's going to bring about Kapara. When you read about these stories, it reminds us to do tshuva and will gain us the proper Kapara. Klalos Ubrachos, those things, Nikun Matagrin, the curses and the various brachas are allowed to be read. Gemara says that's pshita, why would you think otherwise? Mal the same, Anichash Dilma, Paige Datayu Ditzibura, Kamashlam. You might be concerned, look at Rashi towards the top, three lines down. Rashi says, Paigu Datayu, Yachlosh Daitan, Kishishmu, Ishiyu Nanashim. People are going to start giving up hope and Miyayish and say, wait a second, I've got no chance of following this. All these punishments and curses I'm going to get, a person's not going to do it. V'yomu, they'll say, Tov li'anos min ha'olam hazeh b'chol ritzoneinu ha'ol v'sof li'anosh. I'm going to get punished anyways. There's no way I'm going to come out of this place without getting any punishment. I may as well enjoy my time here. That's what people might say. K'mashalan, that we're not going to think people are going to take that approach. Then the Gemara says, Azharos v'onshin, nikri metargumim. All the various lavim and the punishments associated with them throughout the Torah, that's also allowed to be read and translated. That's also pretty obvious, says the Gemara Pshita. Mao de same manichash dilma asalim evet miyira. Kamashman. There's a concern that maybe the people are going to start acting only based on yira. You know why I'm doing this? Because I'm going to get punished. I know I'm going to get punished. So maybe I'll do it right. Why get punished? Doing a vote that's Hashem miyira is not the greatest level. Kamashman. What's Kamashman? Either it's going to say that, no, they're going to do it mi'ava, or no, even though they're doing mi'ira, which is a shlo lishma, you end up doing lishma, it's a good way to start. It's not bad, it's not the best, but it's not bad either, so it's okay to read all the psukim. It's a strange havmina to think that you can actually read psukim all about asharos. Half the Torah is asharos and onshim. There's actually havmina to think that you couldn't translate these sections of the Torah. Anyways, you can. And then the Maisa Amnon with Tamar, which I mentioned before, which Amnon and Tamar were, I think, half brothers and sisters. I think they had different mothers, but they had the same father, David HaMelech. This whole Maisa of Amnon was pretended he was sick and got Tamar to come to his room and ended up raping her. So this is a terrible act. So Nikra Matargim, that Maisa, that episode can be read and translated. And also Maisa Avshalom Nikra Matargim. So the Maisa of Avshalom.
Tamar was a sister of Shalom, I think.
It was a sister of Amnon also.
Oh. Sister, but full sister.
Oh, full sister, Avshalom, okay. But this next story of Avshalom, I don't think relates to the previous story, though. Okay.
No. I'm just clarifying because Avshalom killed Amnon, her half-brothers, because she was
his full sister.
Uh-huh.
So he felt allegiance to her.
Yeah.
then Maisa Avshalom Nikum Targum, the story of Maisa of Avshalom can also be read. Which story of Avshalom? So the Rashi doesn't tell us, but I believe it refers to Avshalom and the wives of David HaMelech. Not his mothers, but they were his father's wives. He had multiple wives, David HaMelech. So talking about violating that. So that can be translated as well. Pshita, why wouldn't you be able to read about this? Now, the same Alichash, the Yikre, David, Kamashmalam. What might be concerned with the covenant of David HaMelech? The fact that he had a son who did this to a daughter of his, or the fact that he had a son who did this to the his wives, one would think maybe not to read it. Kamashmalam, this may be read. Again, what's Kamashmalam? It might be that we're not concerned that this is going to be pogame in the covenant of David HaMelech. We know this had nothing to do with David HaMelech. Sometimes kids, and particularly Avshalom, was not the best son. So sometimes this happens, and this should in no way reflect David HaMelech's actions. Maisa Pilegish Begiva, Nikum Metagim, the story of Pilegish Begiva, which was the Pilegish of a member of Shevet Yehuda, who had been violated by the Shevet Binyamin, and terrible like things happened afterwards. That can be read and translated. Pshita, now the same Alichash Lechvodah Binyamin maybe should be concerned with the covenant of Shevet Binyamin that they did this whole thing to Pilegish Begiva. Kamashalan, we're not concerned. Or Kamashalan, maybe it's a kapara for them. Again, not sure what the Kamashalan is. Neither the Gemara Rashi tells what the Kamashalan is. But again, the Lechvodah might be that it might serve as a kapara by talking about this Maisa. Hodes Yushalayim Estov Oseya, this is a pasuk in Yecheskel that the Mishnah referred to, that talks about all the various abominations that took place in Yushalayim. Nikum Metargim, this can be read and translated. Gemara says, Pshita, it seems obvious that it could be, why couldn't you? Lafugim Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer, to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which I think was the opinion of our Mishnah, who told us that you cannot do it. This parasha tells us you may translate this parsha, while our Mishnah told us you couldn't. Titania. Ma'is Ba'ad-Mecha, there's once an event that one man, Shayakuri Lamala, Rabbi Eliezer, we had the word Lamala earlier. It doesn't mean above him, it does mean above him, but it means in front of him. Lamala was referring to the bima that they had. The bima like we have, the center of the base Knesset was elevated. He read in front of and above Rabbi Eliezer. Hodes Yushalayim Estov Asaya, he read this parsha. Amalos, Rabbi Eliezer says, Sim Ad Shatam Bodik B'Toyevas Yushalayim, Tsei Bodik B'Toyevas Ha'imcha. What are you doing? Why are you starting to investigate and talk about all the various bad things that happened to Yerushalayim? Leave Yerushalayim alone. And you know, before looking at other places, first look at yourself. Look at your mother. See if your mother has any problems. Don't look at other people, other places. Bad Chulach of Matzah B'Hashem, it's possible. It ended up being they looked after this guy. He happened to have a certain psul in his mother.
What's the word Shemitz?
Shemitz is something dirty, I think.
Shmutz.
Yeah, Shmutz, yeah, exactly. So something dirty. They found something dirty, whatever that meant. I don't know exactly what the Shemitz was. Something with his mother that made her and him some psul in their yichus. Now the Mishnah, the Brisa lists, the Gemara lists a number of things, Elu Nikrin v'lo Metagim. The following are things that are read, but not translated. The mnemonic for this one is Ravdon Simon. Maisa Ruvain Nikr v'lo Metagim. The event of Ruvain is read, but not translated. Maisa Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel Shalach l'Kfuul. Once Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel went to a city called the Kfuul, v'hayakori chazin ha-knesses, he read the Pasuk, v'hi b'shchon Yisrael. And this is a reference to the stories of Ruvain. V'amalol, the Meturgamon, al titargim. Rabbi Hanina said to the Meturgamon, don't explain these words. El Achron, only read the last Pasuk, only translate the last Pasuk of the story of Ruvain, which is, Rashi tells us all the way until the top of Rashi, the first narrow line, Titargim el Achron, v'yu ben Yaakov shem asar. A pasuk has a nifsek ba pasuk behefsek ba parsha lechach kori achron kilu hi pasuk lasma. If you remember in the pasuk has a space in the very pasuk itself. It's split up with a little space between the few words, and then it says, and all the brothers of all the sons of Yaakov were 12. And Rashi tells us to tell us that even Reuven himself, even though he did something wrong, he was still included as part of the 12 shratim. He ended up doing tshuva. So that's the only pasuk you're allowed to translate in the whole story of Reuven. Then Shivchu Chachamim, and the Chachamim had very much praised this story that don't translate the words of the Maisa Ruvain other than this last pasuk. Maisa Egal Sheni, Nikra V'lo Metargim, the second episode of, really the second, the recounting of the story of Aaron to Moshe, that may not be translated of the Egal Hazav. Eiz in Maisa Egal Sheni, where the Pesukim, where does the second episode occur? Min Vayomer Moshe Ad Vayar Moshe. From those words, it's... we read that in yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah. So there are five psukim from pasuk chafav to pasuk chafei. These psukim is considered ma'isa egal sheni. Tane Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer liolam yehi adam zahir b'tshuvosav. Person should always be very careful in his answers. Shemitoch tshuva sheishivu Aaron lemoshe, from the answers that Aaron reported back to Moshe. Pakru ha-ma'arim, the ma'arin, what does it mean? Pakru, they removed. Okay, so they said, we see the fact that, Shemar, when Aaron said, v'ashlecheyu ba'esh, v'yitza egel hazeh, I threw into fire, and this egel came out. Because, you see, there's such a thing as Avodah Zarah. How else did it come out? It must have been Avodah Zarah. So be very careful what you say back, because people are always going to take your words and twist them, as we know this to be true all over. Be very, very careful what you say. That's why Rav Yoshua was very, very careful. Rare that you find the psak written by himself in his own name. And anytime a person would quote his name, he doesn't want his name attached to it. He's very meticulous. If he ever wrote a tshuva, which is very rare, he'd write it and make sure every word is so carefully chosen. There's a sefer called Zos HaBrachos on Hilchos Brachos, when it quotes Ech Migdol HaDor, which is referring to Rav Yashiv, but he wasn't allowed to quote his name because Rav Yashiv said, you can't quote my name, because he's afraid people are going to take the words and twist them, and all these achras was on his, here too also, the people, took the words of Aaron and twisted them. Therefore, you can't translate these words. Then the Gemara says, "Birchas Kohanim Nikrin v'lo Mitargrim." The Birchas Kohanim may not be translated. My time of Mishum Dichsa V'Yisa. The Yisha Hashem Panav. Hashem listed his face. Well, Hashem has a face. Hashem doesn't have a face. What does it mean Panav? So people are going to start saying he has a face. So therefore, we don't translate those words, even though all it really means is that we have to understand Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The only way for us to understand Hakadosh Baruch Hu is using these types of images that he doesn't really have, but at least it's a way for us to relate to him and understand him to a certain extent. But it's not really true. Ma'isa David v'Amnon lo nikrin v'lo mitargum. You're not allowed to read, and you can't even translate. You can't even read these stories of Ma'isa David v'Amnon. Gemara said, "What do you mean? But ha'amris Ma'isa Amnon v'Tamar nikra." But we said before nikrin mitargum. Above we said we can read the story of Amnon and Tamar. What's the difference? Gemara says, "Lo kasha had dichsiv Amnon bar David ben David had dichsiv Amnon Tamar." Now, when the Mishnah and the Bryce says you can't even read that, that's when the word, the name Amnon ben David appears, that Amnon the son of David, David's name is attached to the story. Those psukim you can't read when it says Amnon ben David. But the other psukim that mention Amnon alone, without the naming of David, then you can read that story.
Talking about
the same Maisa, but there must be psukim that mention Amnon ben David, other psukim that mention just Amnon.
So there is a pasuk where Amnon asks David that he should tell Tamar that she should see him.
Okay.
And David speaks to her and says that she should see him.
Okay, so I guess whatever parts David is associated with the story, those should be cut out. And then whenever his name is not associated, then it should be and can be translated. Now, Tanur Rabbanan, Kol HaMikraos HaKsuv Matorah L'Gnai, any pasuk of the Torah that's written disgracefully as a bizayon of some sort, Kon Osan L'Shvach, we read it in a nicer way, in a more positive way. So, I'm not sure it means what kol mikros. There are many psukim that speak negatively. Look at the tocha. But there are a number of occasions where we have psukim. This is actually the very next one, I think, is found in the tocha. There are a number of psukim which are, the words are changed to not come off as such a gnai. Kigon yishalgena yishakfena.
I think so, it means, according to this, Lashon Sheina Nekia, not so much bad about Israel. It's more like the Lashon is not clean.
This reminds us of the Gemara's in the beginning of Psachim, where we started together from. All psukim in the beginning talk about Lashon Nekia. Oftentimes, the Gemara, not oftentimes, but there's some occasions where it says Lo Tahora instead of Behema Tmei. It says Behema Lo Tahora. To teach you, sometimes you're supposed to be very positive. I'm reading a parenting book right now. The parenting book is so, stresses so much how. Yeah, like you should never be negative to your child. Never refer to anything it does like as disgusting. Refer to it as, don't say you're disrespectful. Say, I think you should be more respectful. Always say something in the positive. My Rav Rodenzweig, I remember, I found it to be so funny. He would never say anything negative. Like, even talking regularly, he wouldn't say the word hate. He would just say, don't like or dislike. Sometimes it would almost be awkward. He would never use, a negative word. It would be always the backwards of the negative, a roundabout way of saying it. I always found it very awkward, but it's so true. You have to be so sensitive to be as positive, even something that's negative, to be as positive as possible. So you have to be always use the Lashon Nekia. So here we say, this is from the Tocha, it says, Yishagenu Yishakvena. So the pasuk, what it actually writes here, it says Yishakvena, talking about lying down, sleeping, talking about Arayos, but the pasuk uses Yishagenu, we recite it, we say the word as Yishagenu. Then the pasuk says, Bafulum and Batachorim, this is a pasuk that's found in later in Devarim, I guess it's referring to the Tocha also there in Kisavo, I think. So Bafulum and Batachorim, and these are references to the area a person goes to the bathroom from. So we change the words around. And Chayonim and Divyonim also is Chayonim is the area where the bird goes to the bathroom from. We change the word as well. Lechol es Charem, Lishos es Memeshineim. pasuk here is referring to that that Klal Yisrael eats from the tsoa, the excrement of the birds. So we also change these words around. Lechel es tsoasam l'shosas meimei raglayim. So we use different words to have lashon nekiya. L'mecharos l'matos. Those words also we change around. This is a word that appears in Malachim. L'mecharos, referring to avodah zara. Rashi also says this is also lashon rei. You know, areas are going to the bathroom from. We change the words motzos, place that comes out. Rishu ben Karach Omer l'mecharos kishman peishu ginai l'avodas kachavim. So l'mecharos, this Rashi says, this Gemara says, is not referring actually to the base rei, but this is referring to actually just a disgraceful way referring to avodah zara. Okay, so these are a number of areas where the psukim change the word to use a lashon nekiya.
What I don't understand is what is it referring to? Like, when do you change it?
See, I don't know either. Even the Gemara is in the beginning of Pesachim, I don't know. Because we use the word tamei all the time. Here also.
But also, we read from the Torah, let's say, v'yishachat yishkavena. We don't read.
No, we say yishakvena. We do say that. Yishakvena. It's written to yishakvena. It's written. But we read it as. Right, that's the word it actually says. When Baal Kori reads it, he reads the words Yishal Gena.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you know that?
But many times we have Tishkav all the time throughout the parsha.
Yeah.
Throughout Arayos, it has those types of words. Lo Yigal Erva Savicha, Lo Yigal Erva Simicha. We have these the types of. So I'm not sure when we do, when we don't. But I think this is teaching a lesson that you have to be very careful. Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it. It comes up in Kisavo, I think. Is it Kisavo or Bichukosai? One of them. Which one is this? This is Kisavo, it looks like, yeah. So we'll see it in a few weeks.
No, no, it's the other way around. We read Ishkavena.
Yeah?
Yeah. It says Shagal Kudasha Meyuchat Beilat Isha. Velachen Nechshav Lashon Gnai. Vemakom Ze Korin Ishkavena.
Aha, okay.
But the ksif in the Torah is what?
I thought it was, what you're reading now, it sounds like it's written as Yishagvena, but we read it as Tishakvena.
Uh-huh.
This is a strange Kriya ksif. It's mamash, not the same words. It's not the same letters.
Okay.
The Gemara says now, Tanu Rabbanim. No, where are we? Sorry. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach Omer. No. One more time. Amar of Nachman. There we go. Amar of Nachman. Kol Leitznusa Asira, any type of Leitzanus, any type of joking around is forbidden. Bar Militznusa Devodis Chachavim, this Shari, except for the Leitzanus about Avodah Zara. There's a great mice about this, but we're running out of time, I can't say this, but the only Leitzanus that is permitted really Avodah Zara. The Shari, that's permitted. The Chsiv Kara Bal Karam, Karas is Nivo. Uksiv Karsi Karu Yachtav Lo Yuchlu Milat Masa. Not really sure what this Pasuk means. Any good translations on this?
Well, it's they splash, they squat together, and they can't deliver.
Uh huh. Okay.
So it has to be. The explanation says that they the idols can't go to the bathroom like the regular.
Uh huh. Okay. So here we said that's permitted. You can make fun of Avodah Zara in this way. You have Yanei Amar Mihacha. He says another pasuk Agalos Beis Own Yagru. Shachin Shomam Ki Avil Alav Imo Vikamar Alav Yagilu Akfodo Ki Galam Imenu. Yeah, also, sorry, I put you on the spot here again. I don't have a good translation of this either.
Again, it has to do with the idols can't seem to control their bowels.
Uh-huh.
So they're not really, they can possibly worship these people.
So they're all making fun of the Avodah Zara. Obviously, they don't go to the bathroom, but we're making fun. This is Leitzanus of the Avodah Zara. Amar Rav Huna Bar Manoach, Mishmei Derev Acha Brei Derev Ika, Shari Leile Bar Yisrael, the Meimar Leile Avodah Shachavim. A Jew could say to a idol worshipper, Shaklei Levodas Chachavim, Vanachne B'Shin Taf Shalab. Take your Avodah Zara and place it in your Shin Taf. Sounds like a curse word almost. I'm not sure what he's trying to say here. So the Rashi says, Shin V'Taf is Lashon V'Chashuvi Shas Arvis Mitzrayim. Place it in your Erva. Okay?
So you shove it.
What?
It's what it sounds like. Go shove it.
Go shove it. Okay. So that's what.
Take your idol and shove it.
So as long as normally we try to have a very good lashon and speaking, but in these situations you could use any terminology that you want. Okay. Amar of Ashi, Haiman Desani Shomanu, a person who hates the Shomanu. What does it mean? Sone Shomanu. So Rashi says Desani Shomaina towards the bottom of Rashi. Shiotif alav shmos raos v'snos shu noif. The person starts having these rumors about him. He's doing inappropriate things with other women. So it's sharilei levzuya. You're allowed to embarrass him. Begimel v'shin with a lashon, very strange. Gimel v'shin also. What's that? Like another curse word. So Rashi tells us begimel v'shin bar giras zona. You could say he's a son of a zona. And shma sarya shem musrach. And his name is disgusting. You can start. You know, many names in Hebrew, you could always take a name and put it in two different ways. That's the beauty of Hebrew. It's you could take any word and say it's something positive or something negative. So you could take his word and his name and really start interpreting it as in a bad negative way. That's all permitted. Hi man, the shaper shemayim, someone who has a beautiful shmu about him, the rumors is his reputation is a positive one. Then shari l'shvucha, you could praise him. Uman the shavcha, and a person who does praise such a person with a great reputation, yanuchlo birch brachos arosho, is going to be blessed with many blessings on his head. Hadron lach hakoris megillah omed. That concludes our third parak. As we have half an hour to do this next blot, 35 minutes, let's see what we can do. The new parak says bnei ha'ir shemachu rechova shalir lochim b'dama beis knesses. Okay, we'll see what we can do. So, a city that sells its street, the city streets, we'll see the purpose of that, could use the money, the proceeds of that, to buy a base knesset, buy a shul. Base knesset, they sell a shul. Lokin teva, they could buy a teva, an ark to hold the Torah. If they sell the teva, lokin mitapechos, they could buy the matpechos, the various covers, or the cloths that are used to cover the Sefer Torah. Matpechos, let's say they sell the covers. Yichu svarim, they could buy svarim. This refers to nevim and ksuvim, says Rashi. Svarim, if they sell the nevim and ksuvim, the nach, lokin b'torah, they could buy a sefer Torah. Im machu Torah, if they sell Torah, lo yichu svarim, you can't go up. You can't go down in value, rather. You can't buy from a Torah, the money of a Torah, to nach. If you sell svarim, lo yichu matpechos. Matpechos, lo yichu teva. Teva, lo yichu beis knesses, lo yichu as a rechov. V'chein b'moser same. Also, same hold true with any leftover money you might have. You can only go up in value, you can't go down in value. Gemara says, "Bnei Ha'ir Shemachu Rechova Shel Ir." So the city that sells the street. So Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zu Divrei Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi Mistumasa. That always goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Nachman. Aba Chachamim Omrim HaRechov Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha. Chacham say you can sell the street for whatever you want because the streets have no kedusha at all. Why not? So Rabbi Nachman Bar Yosi, my Taima. Why does he think that there is kedusha to the streets? Hov Ha'am Mitzpalim Bo Betaniyos Mamados. Since certain times they go to daven in the streets during a fast day, during mamados, Rashi explained that, quotes in the Mishnah and Tainus, that they would take out the teva during the Tainus and the Rechov. They placed the ash on the teva, made a whole procession outside, and so too in the mamados, apparently they do the same type of thing. They'd go outside to the streets. So you see, since there are certain times during the year they use the street, that has a kedusha to it. Rabban hahu ikre ba'ama, that's only just a happenstance. Does that mean anytime there's a parade or there's a big asifa of Tehillim that take place in, let's say, in a big stadium or in the streets of Manhattan, do these things, these protests with Tehillim, do that make it into makom kedusha? Certainly not. These are ikre ba'ama. So according to Rabban, we don't. That's how we paskin. There is no kedusha to the rechov. Basic knesses is lokhan teva. If you sell a shul, you're allowed to purchase a ark for the Aron Kodesh. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo shanu elo bebeis knesses shel kfar. This only holds true of a village, a shul found in a village. So if you sell a shul of a village, you could buy a teva. Ava beis knesses shel krachim, of a big city, came into ma'al ma'asulei lo matzi mizavnilei. But you cannot sell a shul of a big city that people flock from all over the world to daven. It's a big shul, the shuk is there, and they come to daven. It's a massive city in Manhattan, let's say. So that you have no right to sell because the rabbim have rights to it. You can't sell the rights of a rabbim, so you can't sell a shul at all. Only in a kfar where the 20 families living there have rights and all are mochel to sell it, that's permitted, but not in the city. So Amr of Ashi, Hai Beit Knisha, the Masa Machsha, a shul that's found in a big city, Af Agav de Ma'alma Asi, even though people come from all over the world to daven there, came the Daita Dide Kasi, that since they come according to my Das, I Ba'ina Mizavinilay. So this particular city, the Masa Machsha, I think it's talking about a particular city, since people come on my Das, even though it's used by the Rabbim, you're allowed to sell it. Meisve, the Gemara asks, Amr Behuda Meisve, Bebeis Knesset, Shal Torsayim. Is once a shul of Torsheim. Any English place that we can relate to for that? Is there a place called...
It's not a place. They're the copper refiners.
Uh-huh.
So those people. I guess it's like, we have shuls in Manhattan that used... Uh-huh. There's the millinery synagogue. And right. There's the Taylor. There's another synagogue in Manhattan that based on the
profession.
The tradesmen who used to use it.
Uh-huh. So it's just there. It's a mincha afternoon davening, not in the morning or nights. So this place... That were used by the tin tin copper. So the copper workers, Shaya B'Yushlayim, Shemachrula Rabbi Eliezer, they sold it to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, by the way, is a very wealthy wealthy Tana, we know, from the Gemara in Yuma. V'asaba called Tsarchav, and he did whatever he wanted with it. He turned it over into a, I don't know, a big factory, let's say. V'ha'asam de Krachem Havik, but that was a big center, a big industry that was going on there. So that, how could he sell that? Ha'i be'knishta zute havi, it was very small. Vinhu avdua. So what does that mean, inu avdua? The only people who worked there, davened there, but wasn't really, even though it was in a place, a large city like Manhattan, people didn't flock to the shul, so they had the right to sell it. Meisive, Gemara quotes the pasuk with base eret achuz aschem mitami binigam, vein yushlam mitami binigam. Only the areas that are given over to the Yerusha throughout Eretz Yisrael are subject, those house found in those lands can be subject to din of teras and nega. But Yushlaim, since Yushlaim was not given over to any Shevet, so therefore it is not subject to the lachas of Nigam. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shamati el makom mikdash bevad. I heard otherwise. I heard that only makom mikdash bevad, only the Beis HaMikdash was not given over to any Yerusha, but the rest of Yushlaim, which is given over to Yehuda, it can be become mitame. So Gemara says now, Ha batik knesios hu batik midrashos mitamin. But when it comes only the Beis HaMikdash is exempt from the gun. But when it comes to a shul, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, these things are mitame. But amai had the krachem havu. But aren't there the big shuls that are subject that are connected to big cities, and they're not part of an achuza? The rabbim hold on to them. So these shuls should not be subject to Nagam either, because they're not held by achuzaschem. They're not a particular person, a particular shevet's ownership. Yerusha, it's the rabbim. Was Ema Amar Bihuda Ani Lo Shemati Ela B'Makom Mikudash Bavad, not Makom Mikdash, Makom Mikudash. Any base knesset, any base medrash is exempt from the halachas in the garden, because they're not owned by Achuz Aschem, they're rather owned by the rabbim. People don't have the rights to them; it's the public's ownership. What's machlokas? Whether or not all Yushlaim is subject to Nigam or it's not. Tanakam Basavar lo nischalka Yushlaim the Shvatim. Yushlaim was not given out to the Shvatim. And Rabbi Huda Savar nischalka Yushlaim the Shvatim. He thought it was given out to Yushlaim. That's machlokas. Was Yushlaim part of the Achuza or was it not part of the Achuza? Ubipluk, the Dahani Tanai, they actually arguing that the very same machlokas is found in another Brisa, the Tanya. Mahaya Bechelko Shehuda. What was in the portion of Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda? Har Bayis Halishchos, Har Bayis itself was part of Yehuda, the various chambers of the Beis Mikdash, Hazaros, as it's Noshim, as it's Kohanim, as it's Yisrael, Umayya Bechelko Shebinyamin, what did Binyamin have? Ulam, they had the Ulam, the big grand hall, the Heichal, where the menorah and Shulchan was, Beis Kachay Kabashim, where the Aron was, Ritzu Haisa Yotzes Mechelko Shehuda, Nechas Bechelko Shebinyamin, and even though that the Heichal and the Mizbech was part of Yehuda, part of Binyamin, rather, there was a tiny piece of Yehuda, had a little strand that went into the Makom of Binyamin and took one of the corners of the Mizbeach, of the area where the Yesod was. And the Mizbeach had Yesod, a little platform that went around half the Mizbeach. That area, one corner, was taken by Yehuda. And that area was where the Mizbeach was built on, was the area that was owned by Yehuda, that was really in the property of Binyamin. That one little land of Yehuda was where the Mizbeach was. Every single day the pasuk is about to tell us, Binyamin wanted to just swallow up that portion of Yehuda. There's a lot of penimis here in this pasuk. Shenamar chofif alav koyom. He was hovering over this part of Mizbeach the entire life. Because Binyamin really wanted it so dearly, he really wanted the whole Mizbech and the whole Beis Mikdash in his portion, he was zochah to become a guest, a chashuv guest of the Shechina. Again, I'm not sure what that means. Rashi tells us, Ushbizcha Neshaya Aron Bechelko. The Aron ends up being his chelik.
Here's a
picture of it.
Yeah, the gray is Binyamin.
And a little white dips into the area of Binyamin to take a little piece of his back, right at the bottom south, the south.
Yeah,
that's
just,
there.
It seems that it's just the how do you call it, the ramp,
the ramp, the kevesh.
The kevesh.
Yeah, and also I think he dipped into that corner, the one that you sewed in the southern west corner.
This one.
Yeah.
It says you sewed, but it doesn't. For me, it's way inside.
No, but I think you get. I think the Gemara in Tevachim talks about he gets that one corner. That corner was very chashuv. That one corner he gets, because a lot of the shirayim was dropped.
Even though it's outside his border.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Gemara says
it. East and West Berlin.
Right.
Tosfos
mentions the Gemara in Zachem, yeah? I see that, huh? Okay. Actually, he says he doesn't get that one. He doesn't get the Yisod. He misses it. He gets the southern west corner. Yeah.
He does not get the Yisod.
Right. He gets the southern west one, not the Yisod. Okay. He gets the one without the Yisod. Everyone had Yisod except for the southwest. That southwest corner he got, which had no Yisod. Okay. So, okay, and because of this, again, since Binyamin wanted to so badly swallow up the area of Yehuda, he was zochah when the Beit HaMikdash to be the Aron was placed in his area. And I'm not sure what was going to be, where else would it have been? Meaning, wasn't that his portion in the first place? What was he zochah to it? So maybe the area, maybe it was supposed to be no man's land in the first place, that area of the Aron. And he made zochah to get that, absorb that place as part of his nachala. Okay, so we see from here, so Hai Tana, so this Brisa Tana Savar, so we see from here that this Brisa tells us that even in the base of Migdash, the rest of Yerushalayim was divided between Yehuda and Binyamin, so we see that Yerushalayim was Nishalk L'Shvatim, that's what this Brisa holds. And Vahai, now the following Brisa, three wide lines down, Tana Savar, Lo Nishalk Yerushalayim L'Shvatim, the following Brisa tells us that the Yerushalayim was not divided among the Shvatim, the Tanya, Ein Maschirin Batim Yerushalayim, Mivnesh Ein Anshalahem, that the houses of Yerushalayim are not rented out because I don't have ownership of it to rent it out. And Rebbe Lazar Omer Af Lomitos, even the beds on the floors, I am not, don't have the right to rent out a bed on my own house that I'm living in. I can't rent out. Lefikach Oros Kachim Bali Ushbitzchen Notlin Osan Bizarro. Therefore, when the guests would come stay in my house against my will, they'd come to sleep over in the house to go to the base of Migdash the next day. When they come back to my house to stay over, I have the rights to forcibly take the skin, the hide that they take from the base of Migdash, because I need to have some type of schar, some type of rent, even though I can't collect it. That's the form of schar I could collect. But why don't I have a right to collect the rent? Because I don't own it. It wasn't nischalkel l'shvatim.
So why can't you have some schar?
Because I don't have ownership. I can't, go into your house and start collecting rent for someone for living in the house. I don't own it. So I can't go to... I can live in your house if you don't mind. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets us live in Yerushalayim if we want. But I don't have the right to start collecting rent on people living...
I'm just talking about other regular
things. In general. In general, I can't do it. This talks about, in particular, when people come to live there, they have to sleep over for the night. So when they come back with the hides from the carbon, then I have the right to take it away. But even during the week, if a person were to stay, I can't collect any rent. Gemara has a similar discussion. The Mishnah in Makos talks about, does a Levi have the right to collect rent in the Ari Miklat? Machlokas in the Mishnah in Makos, it's a Machlokas, whether or not the Levim have ownership of the house that they live in Ari Miklat. Is it theirs to live in, or are they just there temporarily? It's interesting, Machlokas. So the Gemara says now, Amar Bai says, we learn from here, Shmamina Orech Ara, L'mishrak Inish Gulfa Mashcha B'Ushpisa. It's very much Derech Eretz for a guest to leave something over for his host. Now what does Gulfa and Mashcha literally mean? A jug of something and something else, some hide? Okay, so leave something over. This is a nice minhag that we have.
To bring,
right, so the hide and a jug of wine maybe. But this is a nice custom that we have. When you go to a guest, you usually bring a candy, wine, or something, some nice little gift. Not that it's you have to do that, but that seems to be a nice derech eretz to do. So Amar Rava says, Lo shanu ela shlo machu shiva tovi ha'ir b'mabed anshe ha'ir. What we said above, all the halachas earlier, that you cannot sell basic classes for something less. Well, basically, you can't sell anything for less than what it's worth, or less than the Kedusha. In other words, you can't sell Sefer Torah for Nach. That's only if you don't have the Anshim, everyone get together, the seven members of the year who are overseeing all the various finances of Amachu Shiva Tova Ir, but the seven members of the city, B'mamed Anshe Ir, with the consent of the rest of the city members, then you can sell Afil Mishta. You could sell anything, even the Sefer Torah could be sold, the Mishta Be'Shichra, to buy something to use, to buy beer. So only as long as you have the consent of the seven members of the city and the rest of the city as well. Shabbat Dami, that's permitted. Again, our mission is only talking about the...
That's very questionable because... So who's the one selling it if it's not them?
If not them, who else is selling it, right? So,
because who has the power to sell, let's say, a street and buy a Beit HaKnesset without the approval of everybody else?
That's a good question, right? Yeah, that's a good question. Who's doing the selling if not them in the first place?
Well, anybody could buy the Brooklyn Bridge.
Right.
So I guess I'm selling you the Brooklyn Bridge, and then they say, Harry Pfeffer sold me the bridge.
But who has a title then? Who has?
I guess there'd be a contest.
Right. Okay, so I guess the title was a little bit unclear then. Then. Okay.
It seems
okay.
According to this that there had to be the Sheva, the seven whatever you call trustees,
mm-hmm.
and the people of the town standing. But if just the trustees sold it, or just the people sold it, then you have to do what uh-huh. said before.
Okay.
Sheva the way.
Okay, let's pick up an Amud Beis now. We have
takes away the kedusha.
Okay. Says the Gemara, top line of Chaf Vav Amud Beis, Ravino Havale Havu Hahu Tila de Beit Knishta. He had a little mound of the shul. Also the Kameh de Rav Ashi. Amule Maul de Mizre, could I it seemed like the base Rashi is a base harus, so it was destroyed. I guess the shul was destroyed, they had a little mound left over. A little rubble. I wanted to know if I could plant on this. So go, you could buy the rights from the seven trustees and the rest of the people of the city, and then you could plant, do whatever you want with it. Rami bar Abba hava kabani beknista havi hau knista atika. And he built a shul, and there's another one that was old. By the mystery, he wanted to destroy the old shul. So, lasui livne, in order to buy bricks, vikshure, and beams, mine, vaila hasam, yasav kami vaile. He wanted to ask whether he could do this or not. Haud Rav Chista, Rav Chista, lo lister beknista ad v'nei bani b'nei kista achrisa. So he says that you can't build a new base knesset until you can't destroy an old one until you build a new one. Why? Because hasam mishim pshusa. So that's because there's a concern. If I destroy this one, you may never come to build the other one, then the city will be missing a shul. But kia gav namai, what's the halacha here? Or what's different about this case?
Using it for another shul.
So he wants to use the other shul.
So he's going to destroy one before another one's built.
Right.
But he's using it in order to build the second one.
He's actually he's selling it in order, or is he actually breaking it down to use the actual bricks?
Uh-huh.
The actual material is being used for the new shul. So what's the halacha? Is that better than you're completely demolishing a shul? So ask the kamid your papa of Aserlei. He said it's Aser. The Kamid Rav Huna of Aser, he also said it was Aser Rav Huna. So Amar Rava, Hai Beit Knista, Chalufa, Vizuvene, Shari. A shul that's Chalufa, Vizuvene, Rashi says, Chalufa is Vizuvene, Chala, Kedushasa, Al HaChiluf, Au Al HaDamim, Hu Yatsa, Min HaKedusha, Li Shamish Bo. What I mean, it's Chal, the Kedusha is Chal on the substitute of it, or in the money. So a person sells a shul, or he has a substitute for it, that that's permitted. What is this, what we're talking about in our very case here?
Uh-huh.
So the person could be poded. The person could redeem the value of kedusha and put it onto money or something else. That's permitted. Ogura umashkana aser. What's aser is the renting it out and using it as a mashkon, sounds like. To rent it out, use it for something else as a mashkon, that's aser to be done. My time, what's the reason? Because the kedusha remains. You didn't redeem it anyway. I can't take a shul and rent it out for some other purpose other than a shul. What I can do is I could be pulled it onto money, or I could be pulled it and transfer the kedusha onto another building, it seems. Livne nami chlufayu chlufinhu vizvune shari. So even the bricks of the shul that were designated for the shul are muta to transfer to some other to money, let's say, and to permit the use of the bricks or something else. Ozavinu aser, but to lend them out, to lend them is aser. Now, hani mili batiki, this is only true of old bricks that were once used in the walls of the shul. About the chadase, new ones that were never actually used, simply designated less than, but that is not subject to halachas. There's no kedusha that's chal on it. Vafilaman damer hazmana milsi, even the corner of the opinion that in general holds, the Gemara, both in Brachos and Sanhedrin, tell us that normally hazmana is milsi, that designating does take effect. Hani mili ki gon ha'arig beg lemes, a person who actually weaves something for the purpose of a mace to wear. Avahacha kitavi la'arig dami, but the But when it comes to, let's say, spinning the string, the wool, for the then weaving it, that is too far removed from the use of it. That's not called Tazmana Milsa. Here too, also designating the bricks is a step away from them building the actual shul. So therefore, this, even according to the opinion of Hazmana Milsi, this would not be Hazmana Milsi. No one would say that the Isser, the Kedusha Bichal, on bricks alone that were designated for a shul. What about a Matana? Let's say somebody gave it to a city. Rashi says that Nasu Bnei Ha'ir, basically, that's the Tashmi. They had a present. They said, I'm going to give you a gift. Listen to shul, knowing Davos and anymore, the community fell apart. This is a gift to the town. Do what you please. Use it as a, I don't know. So, Pligibar, was that permitted? Pligibar, Rav Acha, Ravina. Chad Asr, Chad Shari, one says Asr, one says Mutter. Man, the Asr, one that says Asr to give over a shul as a present, Bahai Tefka Kedush Asa. So, it should probably be Bimai, maybe. Yeah, Bimai. With what would the Kedusha leave? It didn't transfer. When I take the money and pulled it onto other, I take the shul, I pulled the Kedusha onto money, so it left to the Pidyon. But there's no Pidyon, there's no transaction that took place that transferred the Kedusha. The Chad Shari, the one that permitted it, says Man the Asr, Bimai, sorry, Manda Shari, he loved the Havale Hana Mine, love you Havale. If the people didn't receive any Hana, why would they give it away? There must have been some Hana, some benefit that they were receiving that allowed for it to transfer, that allowed for the Kinyan to take place. So, Hadar Havale, Matana Kizvini, so then it becomes that the giving of a gift is like selling something. So, when you sell something, you receive money, so it transfers with the money. Here, Tosa, there's some Hana, some benefit that the town must have been giving them that permitted the redemption, the giving of the gift. Tells us, Tashmishi mitzvah nizrakin. This is very important. Halacha, Tashmishi kedusha nignazim. Comes to Tashmishi mitzvah. What's Tashmishi mitzvah? So something that's used for mitzvah, but there's no kedusha. So for example, tzitzis is called Tashmishi mitzvah. No kedusha. Usually kedusha something has osios in there. Osios letters, klaf, a mezuzah, svarim holders. So Tashmishi mitzvah, you could throw them out. Take tzitzis and throw it mamish into a garbage for mikra din. The best thing to do is we say put it in plastic and then throw it in the garbage. Even better, some people don't even bury Tashmishi mitzvah. But mikra din, Tashmishi mitzvah just needs to be thrown out. Tashmishi kedusha has to be nignazim and have to bury it. Veiluhin Tashmishi mitzvah. The following are Tashmishi mitzvah: sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. These are examples because none of them have any kedusha. There's no osios. There's no letters. Letters. The Rav Chaim of Mevilashin talks about all the kedusha comes from osios. That's what Rav Shacht likes to say. All the kedusha from the Beis Hamikdash stems from the Aron, because Aron had the luchos. The Aron had the Sefer Torah. All the osios are there. The osios what gives all the kedusha. But these things have no kedusha. There's no osios. Therefore, the only tashmishi mitzvah they're used for something nice, a mitzvah. But there's no kedusha to them. Veilhein tashmishi and kedusha. The following are tashmishi kedusha. The lus kami. What's lus kami? That Rashi tells us are something to like a bag to place a sefer in them. Svarim, referring to Sifrei Tanakh, Tefillin, Mezuzos, V'tikshel Sefer Torah, the cover of the Sefer Torah. I'm not sure whether it's different than lus kami. The nirtak shel tefillin, the bag to hold tefillin, rutso seyan, even the straps are also, there's actually also what's brought down, people don't really know this, a jacket for the svarim. You know, sometimes the svarim comes like a little jacket to hold the svarim in, like a little box. That also is considered tashmishe kedusha. It's brought down in Mishnah Berurah. People take it and just throw it out. It really shouldn't be used to throw it out. If you're going to throw it out, you should really place it, really has to go on Geniza. Amar Rava. Rava says, Mereish hava amina, hai kursa tashmishi de tashmisha ha'u. Initially, he felt that kursa, what's kursa? Is the bima of eight. The bima that was used for the Sefer Torah was a tashmish of a tashmish, because you place a cover on top of it. So it really helped the cover, which then held the Sefer Torah. It's only secondary tashmish, vishari. Came to Chazin, the most of Elias Sefer Torah, once they saw sometimes, like for example, Tisha B'Av, we're not sure why initially they didn't, but a lot of shuls take off the cover by the bima. They didn't do it. They don't do that here. Either way, sometimes he saw they place it directly on top of the bima, so then Amina Tashmish Kedushi, I see that it's really Mamish Tashmish Kedushi, it's directly supporting the Sefer Torah, V'Asr. Vama Rava, Rava says, Meresh Hav Amina Hai Prisa Tashmish the Tashmishuv. Originally I thought the Prisa, which was the curtain that was used to cover for the Aron, was a Tashmish of a Tashmish. Came the Chazina Daifulei Uman Chasifra Alayu Amina Tashmish Kedushahu V'Asr. Sometimes I saw that they actually use it to place underneath the Sefer Torah, so they took it off the curtain, off the Aron, it became a Tashmish Kedusha, therefore Asr. I don't think we do that with our curtains. Our curtains only has a din of a Tashmish the Tashmish, not a Tashmish the Kedusha. Rava says further, Hai Tevusa di Irpat. This Teva of Irpat, which was, Rashi tells us, is Aronishin is Kalak of a Nifrad Mechabura. It kind of broke and fell off. So, Mavda Teva Zutre Shari. So to use a broken teva to make a smaller teva, that's permitted, because it still has the same use, just smaller, of holding the Sefer Torah. Kursei Aser, but to make it into something else, making it into a bima, that's Aser, because of course Aron Kodesh has more Kedusha, it houses the Sefer Torah, than simply holding the Sefer Torah temporarily, so to make it into the bima is a going down in levels. Amar Rava, Rava says, Hai Pirsa Devela, the Mevde Prisa Lisifri. If a curtain that was ended up being worn out, you could reuse it for something like spread underneath the Sefer Torah, it's permitted. Of Sifrei, rather, refers to Nach, I think. But the Shari, Belechum Shin Aser, but to use it to hold the Sifrei Torah, Chumashim alone, that's Aser. No, I'm sorry. For Sifrei, refers to Sifrei Torah, that's permitted, but to use it for Chumash, which is simply what we have, our Chumashim, that's Aser, that's going down in Kedusha. Amar Rava, Rava says, in other cases, Hani Zvile, the Chumshay, the Kamatri, the Sifrei, Tashmi Kedusha Ninu, Vinignazim. So what's Zvile? Some type of luskami, which Rashi said above. Bags of chumashim. And a box of sefer Torah. These things are considered tashmish kedusha and must be nignaz. Pshita, about the same. Hani lav lachvod avidon, and tur ba'alma avide. These things are not used for kavod, they're used simply for protection. Since they're for shmira, maybe one would think you wouldn't require geniza. Kamashran, that they require geniza. A little bit more time. Hahu Beit Knisa, the Shulchan Shul Yehudai Ramai, that was found in Rome. Davi Pasiach Lahu Idrona. It was opening up to Idrona, which was a room of where they placed the mason. And until it came Davi Machas Be Mesa, they placed the mace. Vahavi Baal Kani Lemeil Tzuliy Hasam. So the Kohanim had to come daven. So Amr Leila Rava, what should they do? So Amr Lahu Dali Tevusa Osvai Davi Le Kliets Asur Lenachas. So what you should do is you should place on top of the mace a flat piece of wood. A flat piece of wood is not makabel tuma based on the psukim, and it also serves as a chatzitza, so it's going to create an ohel around the mace and not allow the tuma to come out of it. So I'm relaying rabban on the rav. The rabban to the rav. V'ha zim de metatale ki marach sefer Torah layo havle metatale malei reikam. But don't they sometimes use this plank of wood to carry the Sefer Torah? And we see that normally we say a flat piece of wood is not makabel tuma only if it's never used for when it's in flat. I mean, we normally say wood only has a function if it has a base kibble. But flat doesn't have a purpose. But if we do see that you're using it even when it's flat, then it becomes a kli, and it is makabel tuma. So Gemara says if that's the case, if you sometimes use flat wood to carry Sefer Torah, ihachi lo efshar, there's no way around it. We have to either tell a kohen to daven outside or tell them to remove the mace from the building.
So the issue wasn't reduction of its kedusha here. The issue was because it's makabel tuma.
Issue is exactly makabel tuma. I think so. The fact that we're just using something else. Yeah, that seems to be the issue. Let's see. Does Rashi point at anything about kedusha? I don't think so. Right. Exactly. This story is not brought because kedusha. It's brought that something used to carry the Sefer Torah.
It's only about tuma.
Right. And then the Gemara says a little bit further. We still have a little bit more time. We miss a lot of good stuff here in Tosafim, but okay. Amar Marzutra, Matfechos Svarim Shabalu, if the various cloths used for the Sefer Torah, Shabalu, became worn out, Osan, Osan, Tachrichim, the Mace Mitzvah, you could use them for Mace Mitzvah. So we see another example of Tashmisha Kedusha can be used for a Mace. It's not an issue of a Kedusha. I guess this particular case, that's a way of doing Geniza properly. The previous case wasn't Geniza, but we see another situation of using Tashmisha Kedusha for a Mace. Vizuhi Genizasan, that's the proper way to get rid of it, to place it with a Mace. Vamarava Sefer Torah Shabalo, if it's a Sefer Torah that became worn out to a point where you can't fix it anymore, Gonzin also Eitzel Tamil Chacham, you bury it near a Tamil Chacham, Vafilu Shona Halachos, even if he just learned Halachos alone, I guess he wasn't, Rashi tells us the bottom line, Afilu Shona Halachos, Kolomer Afilu Lo Shimash Tamil Chacham, Be'ashas V'gemara, Elav B'shas B'raisos, even though he didn't do the proper Shimash that he was supposed to do, he still qualifies as a Tamil Chacham that can be have a Sefer Torah buried next to him. And Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Ubichli Cheres, it should be placed in some type of earthenware jug. Shinemar V'nesatam Bichli Cheres Leman Yamdu Yamim Rabim, in order to preserve it for as long as possible. Let's see. Let's go to the top of the next page. Why not to get to the? We go two lines down. The Gemara says, Rapapi Mishmei Dere. It's just two lines into the next stuff. Rapapi Mishmei Dere Rebbe Mibei Knishta Lebei Rabbanim. Shari, he permitted you to change a shul into a base medrash, but mibei rabbanon lebei knisha aser, but that's not allowed because a base medrash is a much higher level than a shul. You could go from a shul to base medrash, but not from a base medrash to a shul. Papa Mishmei de Rava Masni Ipcha. He thought the opposite was true. He thought the shul, the davening place of tefillah, is higher place than the place of base medrash. In Shemachokas, which is more important, tefillah or Talmud Torah, and Lechora, they're really both true because we find in shuls you learn and in base medrashes you daven. They're really both true nowadays. Amar Rav Acha Kavase the Rav Papi Mistavra. I think the opinion of Rav Papi is more Mistavra, that a shul has a higher level than a base medrash. Damar Bishur Ben Levi, basic lessons Motel Lasos base medrash Shmamina. You could know the other way around, that you could turn a shul into base medrash to a higher level. Does Rashi explain what the reason is for that? No, but I think they say because in a base medrash, maybe somewhere else says this, Gemara Brachos, that even in a base medrash they would daven as well. So really, a base medrash has both elements, both davening and learning. Okay, we'll do the quick recap now. We'll have again, we have a daven and half to do the recap with. So we start with Chaf Hem and Beis. We got to go all the way back there, which went through the various halachas, really started the mission Amun Aleph that told us which sections of the Torah can be read and translated, which ones couldn't. Among them are the Ruvain, the Maisa Ruvain can't be translated, Maisa Tamar, Yehuda can be translated, Egal Rishon can, Egal Sheni cannot be, Amnon and Tamar, Davin Amnon can when it doesn't have David associated, but when it does have David associated with it, it may not. Then the Gemara told us a certain haftorahs that cannot be translated, which was the areas of talking about the abominations of Yechezkel, that cannot be, the Maisa Merkava cannot be used as a haftorah. And then the end of the Gemara there, Amud Beis, talked about different words about using Lashon Nekiyah, which words were proper to be used, which ones were not proper to be used. And then finally, the end of the parak told us that the only place that has the only room we laugh for Leib Tzanis is when it comes to making fun of Avodah Zarah. Gemara brought a bunch of interesting psukim talking about Avodah Zarah having some bowel movement problems and a very strange way of making fun of the Avodah Zarah. And then finally, Gemara told us that one can make fun of someone who has a bad shemu, a bad reputation, bad rumors about him. You could call him some type of curse words. They call him a shin tuff and a gimel shin, some strange cursing. And that concluded the parak. Then the fourth parak told us all about the halachas of selling and buying and selling, or selling and buying different levels of kedusha from a rechov to a shul machlokas, whether the rechov had any kedusha to it. That was machlokas whether or not the few occasions where they davened in the shul, in the street rather, because of a tainus, whether that gave kedusha. Rabbi Menachem thought it did, Rabbanan thought it did not give kedusha. And then we spoke about selling a shul, and that might be a distinction between a shul of a village versus a shul of a big city. The shul of a village do have the right to sell because they're so small they could all agree together. But a shul of a big city, where all the rabbin come to daven there, we don't have the right to sell something that functions the rabbin, serves the rabbin, unless you sell it with the... fine, that's one thing. And then we spoke about whether Yerushalayim was divided amongst Yehuda and Binyamin or not. That reflected the halachas of Negaim. It came up about also Negaim. And then it reflected the issue of the story. Binyamin wanted to swallow up the area of Yehuda. That indicated that they had divided up Yerushalayim between Yehuda and Binyamin. And then finally we had the discussion whether or not you're allowed to rent out your apartment and your beds in Yerushalayim, because that also was talu on whether or not they had ownership to Yerushalayim or not. And then the Gemara said the whole discussion about buying and selling, what you're allowed to buy, what you cannot buy, was only when either the trustees bought it, sold it, or the Anshayat Mamet. But if then both together agreed upon selling it, then you could do whatever you want, even to buy beer, we had said. And then going on to Chaf Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara spoke about if a person wants to destroy a shul to rebuild it, that's not allowed because there's a concern a person might not rebuild it, but if you transfer the Kedusha somehow onto money or onto bricks, then that is permitted, and different situations like that we spoke of. And then the Gemara quoted Braisa, there's a difference between Tashmishei Kedusha versus Tashmishei Mitzvah. Tashmishei Mitzvah, if anything that has no osios, no klaf, no letters in them, that has to be simply thrown that way. But things that Tashmishei Kedusha, such as Tzfilin and Svarim, that has to be put in Geniza. And then the Gemara went through a number of statements in the name of Rava about examples of Tashmishei Kedusha or Tashmishei of Tashmishei Kedusha. And then finally, Gemara spoke about certain times you can even use Tashmishei Kedusha for the purpose of a mace. Either it means to cover a mace for chatzitza, or it means to bury with a mace. And that, I think, concluded our discussion. Okay.